Hello everyone, welcome to our group seminar today. Today we are very happy to welcome Stefan Tabel. He is actually wearing a different hat. He is doing a master's degree in engineering, in telecommunication in the National Advanced School of Engineering in Yaoundé, Cameroon. He's also the head of Department of Physics of a government high school in Ezeka, in Cameroon. He's also doing his PhD degree in quantum quaternionic electronics at the University of Yaoundé 1. He has a variety of research interests, which include development of tools for remote monitoring of healthcare devices and sensors. He designed and manufactured the first interactive infant incubator adapted for the Cameroonian environment. And he's also currently working on ZRC and ZRL oscillators for the integration in quantum quaternionic circuits. And today he will tell us about non-emission two-level system with imaginary components in electronic. So the floor is to you, Stefan.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Estelle. It is a great pleasure for me today to give this talk in your prestigious institution. So, the title of my presentation today is non-emission two-level system with imaginary component in electronics. I'm working with Dr. Fernand Fautin-Gaffo and Aurélien Kenfak-Diota in Cameroon in Central Africa. So this is the outline. This is the outline of the presentation. So first of all, we are going to start with an introduction.
Sorry, Stefan, it's like your slides are not moving. Okay, it's fine.
We are going to start with an introduction, and after we are going to give some words on quaternion and present and make a general presentation of component, give some results, and end with a conclusion and some perspectives. So, generally in electronics, we have three main components, resistor, inductor, and capacitor. That are the three main components that we have in electronics. But since 1948, Telegen have claimed to have discovered the fifth element named generator after the transformer, considered as the fault. But with the work of Léon Choua, he discovered that there is another element which can be considered as the fourth element, named memory store. And more years ago, the first experimental exhibition of this component was made by a team of HP with Stanley Williams, where they claim to have discovered the real fourth element. But immediately after this discovery, another team say that that component was not discovered, so that we have only three classical elements in electronics. More recently, in 2019, a team with Léon Choua have claimed to have discovered now the real memory store, and the classification of component now in electronics is definitively reduced to three. So in electronics, we have resistor, inductor, and capacitor. And all other components that we can have in electronics are just the derivative of the three main components in fractional degree or degree. So we have three major classes: the ohm class with a resistor, the Henry class with inductor, and the Farad class with capacitor. So these three elements can master some secrets in other fields of physics, such as mechanics or optics or mechatronics with Neda and Gata. So generally, many in physics are built around RLC circuit, which is the.
Were your slides supposed to move?
We are still. I have a problem with it.
Okay.
Please.
Yeah, so now we are seeing like priority operator time reversal.
Okay, I will go back to. Okay, now, generally we have in physics a non-emission system divided into two main classes, pseudo-emission system and pseudo-anti-emission system. In pseudo-emission system, we have a subclass, priority time symmetric system, which are non-emission system, but can have an entire real eigenspectra. In pseudo-emission system, we have anti-priority-time symmetric, which is a subclass, and the system possessing anti-priority-time symmetric have a set of imaginary eigenvalue without being anti-emission. So for priority-time symmetric, the Hamiltonian of the system must commute with the PT operator, and in anti-priority time symmetry, we are going to have an anti-commutation. And both the systems are in the top of investigation now in major fields of physics. If we take, for example, the parity operator, we have for application to a one-dimensional system, the position is turned to its opposite, the momentum is turned to its opposite, and the imaginary unit is left invariant. If we act on the system with the time reversal operator, we are going to see that the position is invariant, but the momentum is turned into its opposite, and the imaginary unit turned into its opposite. We can have such system in quantum mechanics, according to the work of Karl Bender in 1998, where he discovered the first class of such system with complex potential with an entire real eigen value. So, in the anti-priority time symmetric, the potential is anti-symmetric, and we can have, in this case, the real part of the potential, which is even, and the imaginary part, which is odd, contrary to what we can say, we can see in quantum in boundary time symmetric system, where for the complex potential, the real part is real and the imaginary part is odd. So the first observation was done by the team of Marquis in optics by coupling two optical waveguides, sharing for one loss and for another gain. And the first experimental realization was done by Reuter in 2010. So in optics, the potential is the complex potential is replaced by the refractive index of the medium, and we have the same behavior in parity time symmetric as in quantum mechanics, and the complex refractive index in anti-parity time symmetric behave like the complex potential in anti-parity time symmetric there. If you move to metamaterial, we can see that the complex permittivity must behave like the complex potential of quantum mechanics, and in anti-priority time symmetry, we are going to see that the complex permittivity must behave like in quantum mechanics. So we can have the same reality in other fields such as electronics, for example. If in metamaterial we are working with complex permeability, the complex permeability must share the same behavior with the complex potential that has been described by Karl Bender. So I am now going to talk about the generalization of quantum number. The generalization of quantum number was made by Hamilton, where he discovered that he can have three imaginary units which anticommute, and he gives the name of quaternion. And here in relation three, we have a real quaternion where E, G, and K are the quaternion units, and the coefficients are all real. So we can have a real potential. So we can have a real quaternion. And on the bridge where he discovered this representation, the inscription was done on the bridge. And here is one paper in which we have the foundation of quaternion in quantum mechanics. After real quaternion, we can have also a complex quaternion. And in complex quaternion, the coefficients of the quaternion are now complex. And we have the imaginary units, which are all proportional to polymatrices, as we can see in relation 5. And there is a relation of Levi-Civita between all the imaginary, all the quaternion units in this case. And we have sigma 1, 2, and 3 are the polymatrices. And according to the work done by Gardiano more recently, we can write an Hamiltonian in the quaternionic space as in relation 6, where we have I, which is the classical human imaginary unit, and the first and the first unit in the quaternion, and we have the ansatz, which is the which is a quaternion, the Hamiltonian which is a quaternion, and the form of the Hamiltonian is like in equation 4, where we have the coefficient. So H1 to H3 all are complex complex function of the time. So the general form can be depicted as in equation 7. And we can write the form of the ansatz in the symplectic notation of in the symplectic notation of quaternion, where we can have the decomposition into two complex functions, and look at the property of each of function. So when we take the notation of the ansatz in that two parts, each part of the function verify the same relation as the main function in quaternionic space, so that the two main parts in the symplectic notation can be different according to a phase shift. And when we resolve equation 8 and take into account the phase shift into the component of the symplectic notation, we have the general form of the solution of our Hamiltonian, which in the reduction into the complex phase, we have an Hamiltonian and a system which describe generally a two-level system. So that is a work that we have done more recently by introducing quaternion by introducing in electronic complex quaternion where this development was made. So, generally now, to achieve electronic system in complex quantum mechanics or into quaternionic electronic, we need the use of new elements in physics, such as the classical one that we have listed before, resistor, inductor, and capacitor. But around this component, we are going now to use, to add to them, imaginary component in order to describe such Hamiltonian following the behavior of two-level system in other fields of physics. So if you take this first classification of component in electronics, we are going to see that we have in red color here, we have resistors, which equivalent in imaginary component is a negative imaginary inductor or negative imaginary capacitor, which bring loss to the system. But if we take the negative resistor, must behave like imaginary inductor or imaginary capacitor, positive imaginary inductor or imaginary capacitor. And if we take a component like a capacitor, which gather oscillation in a system, its equivalent must be a negative imaginary resistor or a negative inductor. If we take inductor, the inductor must behave like a negative capacitor, or a positive imaginary resistor. So, according to the last classification of the theme of Léon Choa, positive and negative components must have their equivalent in terms of membrane-based devices, such as MEM capacitor, MEM inductor, or MEM resistors. And now we are looking at the imaginary part of this MEM resistive component. So the team of Léon Choa tell that it is possible to achieve negative MEM inductive element, but we are searching now how to build imaginary MEM resistive device. If you look at this classification, we are going to see that by using these different elements that we have present, we are going to mimic the system in all the panel of material which exists or in material which are artificial. So we can have, for positive permittivity and positive permeability, we have normal material. If we take positive permeability and negative permittivity, we are going to have the class of plasmonic. And if we take negative index material, we are going to have artificial material that we are that some researcher are done in lab. And we have also for the first class positive permittivity and negative permeability for mu negative material. And all these type of material have many applications in major fields of physics. So in electronics, we can generalize the classical component and complex as complex component, where we have complex resistor, complex inductor, and complex capacitor. So that this complex component can be emulated in a lab by using gyrators, and operational amplifier. So if we take the complex component two by two, maybe the complex resistance and the complex capacitor, or the complex inductor and the complex capacitor, we are going to have an equation of oscillation described by equation 13 and 14, where when the phase of each component is followed the relation equal to the product of the phases are equal to plus or minus one, we have oscillation in the system. And we are going now to use this imaginary resistor to build a classical circuit that's named ZRC circuit. If you take, for example, the classical RLC circuit, its dynamic is described by a second order differential equation, and the solution in the form of equation 17 of this equation is pseudo oscillatory. So we have the damping rate give there, and when it is positive we have loss in the system, and when it is negative we have gain into the system. But if we change the inductor by replacing it by an imaginary resistor, we are going to have an equation of first order, and the solution is complex. We can have the real part which follow the same behavior with the one discovered in RLC circuit, and the imaginary part which is new and give up the use of negative frequency, according to the fact that sine function are odd function, and if we have a negative frequency in this case, the behavior of the system is not going to be like the one with positive frequency, and the frequency of the system is dictated by the product of the value of the imaginary resistor and the capacitor. We can pop the solution of the ZRC circuit into the lab by viewing the real part and the imaginary part according to the behavior of the system with frequency. We can have here, for example, when we have positive resistor and positive capacitor in the first panel, we have a loss cell. And if we reverse the sign of the resistor, we are going to have a gain cell. And if we reverse frequency, the phenomenon are going to be reversed. And here, the cells with the loss will behave like a gain cell, and the cell with gain will behave like a loss cell according to the nature of the frequency gathered by the capacitor of the system. So we are now going to use these two main gain behavior and loss behavior to make non-emission system with real eigenspectra like the one discovered by Karl Bender. So this is the first work that we have done into the field by bringing up the use of imaginary resistor in parity-time symmetric electronic dimmer, where we can see that we have the loss cell here, we have the neutral cell here, and we have the gain cell. And we are going to couple them two to make a system with a real set of spectra. So the system has an exact symmetry in which the Hamiltonian of the system in the form of a two-level system share the same set of eigenvalue with parity-time symmetric operator. And in the exact phase, we have oscillation, and into the broken phase, we have amplification or attenuation according to the system that we have. And this behavior discovered in electronic is the same like the one we can have, for example, by coupling two resonator or optical cavity or optical waveguide or by coupling two polarized signal in an optical waveguide, or in Bragg grating, or in parametric amplifier system, or in optomechanic. So all these systems can behave like the ZRC circuit into the parity time symmetric. Symmetric configurations. We can have also a two-level atom into an optical cavity. So in all this system, when we are before the exceptional point, which have chiral property, all eigenvalues are real, and after we have the broken symmetry, and the broken symmetry still have some special property, such as the exhibition of the coherent perfect absorber and laser, for example, which are very useful in the fields of optics. And we have, for example, at exceptional point, the exhibition of unidirectional invisibility. So our system in parity time symmetric configuration can have a subclass of unbreakable parity time symmetry, where the amount of gain and loss into the system doesn't have an effect directly on the behavior of the eigenvalue. So that when we are in the unbreakable parity time symmetry, all eigenvalues of the system are real. We don't have the imaginary part of eigenvalue. And in this system, we have a phenomenon of saturation as the behavior of transistor in electronic. And there is a particular point in unbreakable parity time symmetry, which is very important, the case where the capacitive coupling is equal to minus one. We have a system which is emission, but having gain and loss, different to the one. To the classical emission system without gain and loss. And to generate unbreakable parity time symmetry in other fields of physics, they need the use of the non-linearity. So the team of Radu has discovered that in non-linear optical media, we can have also unbreakable parity time symmetry. And the property in unbreakable parity time symmetry are so close to the one of one metamaterial, in which more recently a team also have discovered a new transistor called the Wolfett. So for a general presentation of the ZRC circuit, we have four configurations in which we can have parity time symmetry with real and complex eigenvalue into the complex plane of the spectra of the system. We can have two configuration with positive frequency and two configuration with negative frequency. If we take the system and add to our system another coupling, the generator, we are going to see that some information it brings to the system, some other information to build the breakable or the unbreakable parity time symmetry, and these are some oscillations that we have obtained numerically in the lab, and here are their simulation in LTSPICE. And this oscillation, we succeed their realization in the lab, where we succeed to probe with the ZRC the behavior, the real part of the behavior of the voltage across the capacitor into the system. So the use of the generator must duplicate the phase where we can have the eigenvalue of the real spectra into the system. If we take, for example, the first axis of the system, according to gamma equal to 2, We are going to have, for the first to MG1 to MG4, inside MG1 and MG4, we have the broken face and the exact face above. And if you take inside, if you take the second axis, M2 gamma and M3 gamma, we are going to have the exact face in magenta, and all the other space are the broken face of anti-parity of parity time symmetry. So we can have on this picture the behavior in I here of a breakable parity time symmetry, where we have a transition, and in 2E we have, so I we have the unbreakable parity time symmetry, and in the phase of the system we can see the presence of the thresholdless transition, which is an important point in the generation of a single mode laser in photonic or in optics. So into the unbreakable phase of the parity time symmetry, we can also have a topological behavior, such as the presence of the diabolic point. We can have the presence of the diabolic point. We can have also the presence of the exponential of the exceptional ring when we use together the gain lost into the system, which is controlled by the parameter gamma and the gyroscopic coupling into the system. But if we consider into the unbreakable parity time symmetric, according to the value of the capacitive coupling, one of these two parameters, we are going to have a diabolic point, which can be emission or non-emission, according to the behavior of the Hamiltonian that we have. And if we take into account the presence of the resistive coupling into the system, the diabolic point or the exceptional ring must turn into a straight line, and we are going to have an exceptional line in the Eigen spectrum of the system. And if you take into account the imaginary part of the complex gyrator, we are going to have a splitting in the set of eigenvalue of the system, and the system must be gapless. So the counterpart of parity time symmetry is anti-parity time symmetry. And to realize anti-parity time symmetry, we need frequency in opposite sign. So generally, in the other fields of physics, this behavior is exhibiting by using the rotating frame rotation of the signal. But here, in our case, we generate directly positive frequency and negative frequency. And according to the sign of the parameter that we use to generate the ZRC cell, we have also four configuration depending on the sign of the component. That is the anti-parity time symmetric type 1, where the difference between frequency is gathered by the imaginary resistor. In type 2, we have the difference between the signs of frequency gathered by the capacitor, and we have also four configuration in which we can have anti-parity time symmetry. The major characteristic of anti-parity time symmetry is that in its exact phase, it has a set of entire imaginary eigenvalue. And in the ZRC circuit that we are presenting in electronics, we can have parameters so that such that in the broken phase, such that in the broken phase of anti-parity time symmetry, we can have real spectra, we can have a real Eigen value, and we can have also unbreakable antiparty time symmetry in which we have an imaginary set of Eigen value. And here is the behavior of the Eigen value of the system when we have a real spectra in antiparty time symmetry for type 1 here and for type 2 here. So that are the behavior of the oscillation that we can have in antiparty time symmetry for type 1 gathered by the gain loss and type 2 gathered by the gyroscopic coupling. So two-level systems have many applications in major fields and the race to build a robust quantum computer taking into account the loss or the gain of the environment is very implemented maybe in quantum simulation according to the work of Shaozhen using a two-level party time symmetry or according to another work that he has done using a generalized antiparty time symmetric two-level system, which Hamiltonian are so close to the to which we are used in electronics to generate the two-level system. Another part of the race in quantum computing is to build a topological quantum computer. And the solution to build a topological quantum computer is now turned to anionic component. And the work of Stefan Landi have given up how we can build a two-level system which follow the characteristic of parity time symmetry. And this part of physics can be easily realized by using the property of unbreakable parity time symmetry in linear behavior. We can have also the information flow in antiparity time symmetry using a nuclear spin in the cotonic acid and the Hamiltonian that that they use to describe this two-level system is very close to what we can have in PTZRC circuit. So another part of the work that we have done are the property of cautiousness, for example, into the investigation of scattering property of a dimer in electronic. So we can have there the realization of unidirectional invisibility or quarking, such the cape of Harry Potter. So if you take a classical RFC circuit, we are going to see that.
I have a question. What do you mean by thresholdless in your previous slide?
Yes, when we talk about thresholdless, it is a point in the spectrum where we don't have the exact phase. So that where the system is thresholdless, we enter directly into the broken phase of antiparity time symmetry. We don't have the exact phase. Because generally in a parity time symmetry system, we have an exact phase and a broken phase separated by an exceptional point. And when we tell that the system is thresholdless, we don't have the exact phase, we enter directly into the broken phase of the system.
Okay.
So that in this classical RLC circuit, we can have the scattering property, and the system is equivalent to the one that we can have in classical mechanics. And with the use of the imaginary component that we are working on, we can now look at the use, maybe in mechanics, of complex spring or complex mass with positive or negative sign. So we can easily emulate this system in electronic because they share exactly the same dynamic. So we can have here the results that we have obtained by studying the scattering property of our dimmer, and we can have here the unidirectional invisibility in electronics in the gain side of the dimmer, and the unidirectional invisibility in the loss side of the dimmer. And in the phases, we can observe a transition here, which mark the presence of the unidirectional invisibility from the gain side and here for the loss side. And in the broken phase of quality time symmetric here, we have the exhibition of current perfect absorber, which is very useful into the generation of laser. And when we look at the parameter, when we look at the parameter of the waveguide use, we can see that we can generate unidirectional invisibility from only one side of the dimmer when the parameter of the line is taken into the red zone of our picture here. So the RLC circuit can generate also topological behavior. If you take into account the gyroscopic coupling into the classical RLC PT dimmer, we can have, if only the gain loss is used, we can have unbreakable quality time symmetry when the capacitive coupling is less than 0.5, and breakable quality time symmetry when the capacitive coupling is taken more than 0.5. And if you take the gyroscopic coupling, the breakable quality time symmetry for this system is for the capacitive coupling less than 0.5, and we have unbreakable quality time symmetry in the breakable quality time symmetry if we were use the gain loss into the system. And here is the diabolic point generated in the unbreakable quality time symmetry according to RLC oscillator. And here we have also exceptional ring, very close to the one in well material or direct material in other fields of physics. So as application of this two-level system, we can have the simulation, for example, of the behavior of some particle, such as the work done by Caruso. We can have the simulation of a Schrodinger equation to build a quantum wall or to generate quantum gate in quantum computing study. And we can also have some application such as amplifier, switch or filter, quantum sensing at exceptional point, and quantum gate with topological behavior of the system. So for the non-linearity, if we change the capacitors into the system to be non-linear, we are going to have the general set of Schrodinger equation with cubic non-linearities, where we can have all the existing cubic non-linearity, self-phase modulation, cross-phase modulation, and mixed cross-phase modulation. And if we transform our system using the Stokes parameter, we are going to observe, if we don't take into account the capacitive coupling and activate only the imaginary coupling, we are going to have this simple non-linear PT system, which dynamic is so close to the one used in optics or in condensed matter or in the study of Bose-Huber dimer or Bose-Einstein condensate. So we can have there the behavior of the system when we don't take into account the gain and loss into the system. And for low value of the non-linearity, we have the system which have the behavior of trapping system. And if we take less non-linearity into the system, we are going to see the system which move to the equatorial of the bloodstream, and there we have the gyroscopic behavior of the system. So our system, with its stability, can mimic such of particle, such as the one in the Bose-Einstein condensate. So if you take into account the gain lost into the system, you are going to have some behavior here where we have oscillation, and after a certain threshold, the system have an exponential behavior. So at the end of our talk, we have present a two-level system in electronics, and with the work that are going on today in the investigation on quantum computer in major fields of physics, our system can mimic those in optics, in atomic, in quantum electronics, in quantum mechanics, in photonics, in phononic, and in plasmonic. And the system can permit us to build in electronic the experimental realization of a quaternionic electronic system. And with the topological behavior of the system that we have presented, we can have a new waveguide in the building of quantum computer, or a new generation of quantum bits, having in an environment where we can have gain and loss, and the system is robust from is robust to emission perturbation, so that the fields is very open, and we hope that in the next year we are going to succeed the first realization in lab, according to the investigation that we have made, the first quantum quaternionic electronic circuit. Maybe in many years we can have the exhibition of quaternionic quantum computer. Thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you very much, Stefan. I think we have quite some time here. Do we have any questions? So I have a question concerning, I mean, the use of this parity time symmetric two-level system for having a topological qubit. It seems to me that in your formulation, you consider Schrödinger equations in closed system. I mean, you didn't consider like interaction with the environment. So how are you sure that this kind of, I mean, topologically protected qubit will be robust to noise or interaction with the environment, for example?
Okay. In the case of topological qubit, we know that when we have a two-level system, it can simulate a quantum bit. And in topological behavior, the system is robust against perturbation. And the work that we have present, if you take the behavior or the dynamic of the system described in that fields of physics, and the Hamiltonian that we have in our in Z-RC circuit is very close to the one that we have to make topological circuit. So that in topological circuit we have generally well circuit according to the use of some metal material and Dirac semi-metal. And the description that we have done by exhibiting the presence of the dipolic point, the emission dipolic point or the non-emission dipolic point, and the exceptional ring are very close to the one gun in topological quantum computing.
Okay. Do you have other questions? Well, I have another question. So I kind of get the point of being able to mimic a two-level system, but I didn't get the point about using that for quantum gates. Could you kind of elaborate it a little bit?
Okay. According to the recent work of this team, for example, they succeed to realize with RLC circuit according to this work, they succeed to realize quantum gate, C not gate, not gate, using the property of waveguide, of coupled waveguide, gathered by RLC circuit, and they use principally inductor and capacitor. And at the end of their work, they have the equivalent of the gate that we can use in quantum mechanics. So that by using RLC component to build this quantum gate doesn't have the restriction according to what is used now at low temperature to master the behavior of quantum computer. And the difference between the gates that we can have with LC circuit and the one you build by imaginary resistor is that in LC circuit, you are going sometime to do the coupled mode theory and make an approximation in order to go to take a system of second order and have its equivalent after some approximation in one other system. And when we use only the imaginary resistor, if we take, for example, a ZC cell, we have directly a system having one other ordinary differential equation. So that the behavior of ZRC circuit is can be better than the one of LC circuit according to the presence of interferences by using the inductor in the miniaturization of component.
So could you comment on the temperature part of this ZR6 circuit? Do you also need to go like close to, I mean, like very, very low temperature, millikelvin temperatures, or, I mean, could have higher temperatures?
The challenge is now to build a waveguide or generator of quantum bits at very low temperature. The challenge is to build at room temperature. And many teams are working on it. And if we have, for example, so the team that work on optical quantum computing, they use the effects of light, and the temperature is not very low, such as in the team where the superconducting circuits are used. And when we use, for example, LC circuit or ZRC circuit to mimic the behavior of quantum bits or waveguide. This is at room temperature. So that if the results are more exploited, we can have in next year the generation of quantum computer at room temperature. So that if you realize, for example, quantum gates with LC circuits at room temperature, and if you generate quantum bits at room temperature by using the property of metamaterial or another set of material in the fourth quadrant depicted by Veslago, we can have a quantum computer made at room temperature. And into the for the miniaturization of quantum computer, the use of inductor can bring into the system some perturbation. And if you replace the inductor by the imaginary resistor, we can have a system which is much compact without electrical magnetic interferences.
Then I have other questions on how to couple those qubits and so on, but I will stop here. Do we have any last question? Well, if no question, let's thank Stefan for his talk.